Our reading is from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offence at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honour, except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home." He could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions: take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. When we think of Jesus, we don't usually think of failure. But as we look at today's reading from the Gospel of Mark, it's there. Verse 5 of chapter 6 says, he could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. Of course, from my personal perspective, healing even a few sick people is a long way off failing. And I'm sure that those small number of people who did experience Jesus' healing power in Nazareth would agree with me. But hear the tone of the words written by the author. He could not do any miracles except. And think about how things were at this point in Jesus' ministry. He's being followed by crowds. Vast numbers have witnessed Jesus' healings, as we saw last week in raising Jairus' daughter from the dead and the hemorrhaging woman being healed. By today's terms, he'd be considered as famous. And yet now, back in his hometown, his power seems pretty much diminished. And rather than an expectation on him to perform miracles, it's the opposite. They can't see how he can do them, how he can be so wise and knowledgeable. Hence, Jesus ends up being amazed by their lack of faith. It's not hard to imagine, though, what it must have been like for the community in Nazareth. It was a relatively small town. It's likely that everyone knew everyone, at least to a certain extent. Many would have seen Jesus as a child and growing up. The expectation would have been for Jesus to take on his father's trade as a carpenter, and to not do so would almost certainly have raised eyebrows. A combination of familiarity with Jesus' humanity and the potential disapproval of him walking away from the family trade and family must have had an enormous impact on the Nazarenes' view of Jesus. Add to that society's expectation of what a religious leader, a man of God, should look like, what they should do, and the training that was required, and they'd see Jesus as being way off the mark. From the community's point of view, Jesus was a failure. For those who recognised Jesus' power here in Nazareth, it lacked the successes witnessed in other places. Something I think all Christians can draw strength from and encouragement from is the fact that there is nothing we go through in life that has not been experienced by Jesus. It's one of the reasons Jesus was born in that stable, carried for 9 months by Mary and lived as God in human form. It therefore goes without saying that Jesus must have known failure. And of course, he taught about failure. He demonstrated how to deal with it well. And he equipped his disciples, both in terms of avoiding failure and in terms of dealing with it when it came along. It's all there in the reading. It's a manual on managing failure, particularly when we feel like we're failing in the task Jesus set us, which of course is to love one another and share the good news of Christ. Jesus draws the focus to two sources of failure: that created by us getting it wrong, and the other, the one which is completely out of our control, the attitude and response of others, affecting our effectiveness. Jesus was perfect, so the source of his failure could never be him. It's the attitude and lack of faith of the Nazarenes which causes them to miss out on benefiting from the full power of God. In the knowledge that they would come across similar barriers in their own ministries, Jesus tells the disciples to be discerning about rejection and to walk away rather than be pushy. They've done their job. The rest is now between the people who have rejected them and God. I don't know about you, but I find real peace in that message. When it comes to actions to avoid failure that are within our control, Jesus instructs about the need to be prepared, to not be tied down by material things, and to trust in God's provision. The result of the disciples' obedience is that they do have a successful ministry, as we see in verse 12. We live in a society today where, let's be fair, failure can be frowned upon. I do a lot of work with children, and I have done for many years. In recent years, though, there's been a real trend towards discouraging competition, mainly because of the negative impact not winning can have. Because not winning something is perceived as failure, and failure is deemed to be bad. And with this can come a culture of not trying, because to try and fail isn't the done thing. So why bother? Is it better, therefore, not to try at all? However, that is not an option when it comes to life as a Christian. We cannot opt out. We can't back away from our responsibilities. We can't opt out of talking to others about Jesus. And we can't just decide not to strive to live the best lives we can for God. Inevitably, we'll fail at times. Sometimes, yes, that might be due to our own weaknesses. We're human. And sometimes it's very much down to things that are out of our control. But God calls us to try. He calls us to confront failure. The message is that we shouldn't fear failure. We should just face it head on. Just go for it. And I think it's important to really take inspiration from the whole of the New Testament when it comes to its approach to failure. Just one passage that I'll draw your attention to as I bring this talk to a close is James 1, verse 4. It says, "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." Let's go about the work the Lord has set us. Let's persevere with it. Whatever obstacles are thrown in our way, whatever failures we may face, whatever fear of failures we may have, let's be mature Christians. Let's complete our task. And we're not going to lack anything when we trust in God.